Time now to chat with Paul Quigley, our friend down in Manchester. And first of all, Paul.
Yes.
You haven't been in touch with the fire yet?
Absolutely, Simon. Even as we speak here, just due west of Saddleworth Moor, the fires are continuing to rage. We believe, our understanding is, 100 British Army personnel are in situ fighting the fire along with the firefighters. I live 3 miles due west of the smoke, and believe you me, the burning wood smoke smell means that we all have to keep our doors and windows closed 24/7. And in the current heat wave, of course, this is even more oppressive. Guess it's quite horrible, Simon.
That'll put you off barbecues for life.
It certainly would. It would, and it already has. I'm having to eat baked beans and toast and wait for the pong to go. And of course, from what we gather from the Met Office, this hot spell that we're all experiencing across Britain is going to go on for another 2 weeks. So we don't know when it's going to end now, Simon.
Well, let's take our mind off that and replace it with something equally distasteful, I think, for some folk. Let's talk about Brexit. And
indeed,
yeah, and Brexit, which throws up again, there seem to be so many unknowns when it comes to the charity sector.
Yes.
And you know a bit about this. You're living with RP. You've recently lost your site fully, so you know you wonder. You know, are the charities going to be affected by Brexit?
Well, they are indirectly, I think, is the answer to that one, Simon. Particularly because the EU funding stream. It's going to have government departments wondering quite where they're going to get the money from, particularly the Department of Work and Pensions, who pays the VI people, blind, visually impaired people, PIPs and DLA and ESA. These are the sorts of budgets where we're not going to quite know if they are going to be directly affected. I'm sure government ministers would say that that isn't the case. However, as you say, in the charity sector, as increasingly a lot of people are struggling, because, of course, austerity never finished, did it? The Tory government austerity plan has never formally been ceased. So we're still technically living under austere times. My own social services have been reduced manpower-wise from 17 personnel down to two or three people in the last couple of years. So there's less and less support directly for the social and the mobility needs of visually impaired and blind people in my particular borough. And I'm sure that could be replicated across the United Kingdom. So budgets for charities are stretched. I know that the big lottery isn't paying out quite so much as it used to certainly my own experience of blind charities in my borough. So it's becoming increasingly difficult. Now, will Brexit affect that? Well, I think it will, but not because of Brexit so much as the uncertainty surrounding what Theresa May is currently doing with this so-called deal that she's trying to get, a trade deal with the EU. I think that's the problem, is that because that's quite a big question mark over that still, until that starts to settle down and we get this complete clean break, if that's what's the way it's going to be, and we start over effectively and say, okay, well, we're not getting any more EU funding for this, that and the other. But of course, a lot of people would say, well, we were paying that anyway, because I mean the UK contribution into Europe was billions and billions. That simply won't be going from Whitehall to Brussels anymore. That will be staying in the hopefully in Britain, so we will be able to siphon that money back out to Glasgow, Edinburgh, Birmingham, Manchester, Bristol and around Britain, where the visually impaired people of this nation needs it. So if there may be a double-edged sword to this, I think it's too early to say exactly if it's going to be a bad thing or a good thing. I think it will have an effect, but budgets have always been a problem for VI people. Of course, we need it more than most, because we are, along with the elderly, the most vulnerable group there is, as well, along with deaf and other people with mobility needs. But we, the blind and the visually impaired, we should, I think, almost be prioritising this. We should have a priority, and I think some government minister should speak up for this and make sure, be made aware of it. And I think the RNIB could play a role in that. And if anyone wants to get in touch with me as well, I'll be happy to advocate for that, and I'll articulate quite a bit what my concerns are, what our concerns collectively are with that. So
I know you're an independent guy, Paul, but we all, doesn't matter how independent we are, we all can do with a bit of support from a charity at one point or another in our life, can't we?
Yes, we can. And I've had some fabulous support from the people at Tameside site here in Tameside. They've helped. They have some wonderful schemes, of voluntary driver schemes to get people to important engagements if they need them. Fabulous. And my local social services Jane Catani and Amanda Williams at the local Tameside Council's sensory support VI team are absolutely brilliant. And if it weren't for Jane, I wouldn't be able to use my white cane today and be able to get around to do the things I do. And so their contribution, and these people are absolutely professional, and they're completely dedicated to our cause, if you like. They, you know, some of these people, they know how to teach Braille as well as mobility, so they're incredibly flexible in what they can offer. And I just think that together with the RNIB and local sensory services, and I think I'm sure we're working together very closely all together already, but I think we could be doing even more, particularly as times are getting more and more difficult, as the economy is, you know, in a very sort of a strange state at the moment. And I think certainly to do with budgets. I mean, if these people that work in sensory services and VI teams got more financing from central government, because obviously that's where all the money coming from, the Treasury through Whitehall to the local councils, they've stemmed that, unfortunately. If that needs to be open, and of course people say, well, where do we get this money from? Well, I think there is an EU dividend in some way. The money that we used to send off for particularly the international development budget, that could be looked at again, and that some of that money redirected into blind, visually impaired and other disabled groups. That's my view anyway.
I mean, we're very fortunate in this country to have legislation and things to do with diversity and equality and things like that. But yes, if you're reliant on that support financially, this is a real worry, I think.
It could be. I mean, I think it's too early. If you're referring to Brexit, Simon, I think maybe it's too early to say what Brexit will bring. We just don't know. In for example, in your own country up there of Scotland, there are other issues with national, you know, the referendum there. So, I mean, there are lots of other little issues, and they all dovetail together, don't they? So that with none of these things, whether it's Brexit, can be looked at in isolation, because it's always relative to what Nicola Sturgeon, for example, wants to do with the future of Scotland and the EU, et cetera, et cetera. So there's all these other contingent problems that hang off of that. So whether or not it's a black and white issue, I don't think it is, Simon. I think there's more to it than that. We can just say it's a bad thing or a good thing. I think inherently, a bit like the same remit of what Nicola Sturgeon, lover or loather, wants, is just more autonomy for at the local level. And I'm all for that. I mean, for the very reason that I think that local councils should have more power across the country. And by more power, I mean more direct democracy and more budget, so that the money that we pay in council taxes stay local. It doesn't go back to Whitehall. Now, there may well be that some of that does already happen, but I don't think the local communities across this land has enough say in what we do. And I think Brexit is possibly an opportunity, just, you know, to think the unthinkable, that the money that isn't going off. I mean, do you remember all that thing about, you know, they were slagging it off for saying, oh, 350 million quid not going into the NHS. There was all that whole thing, and there was these figures were being bandied about how, oh, this money, whether it be, if we'd be in the EU, we'd still get it. Well, I just don't think it's as simple as that. I mean, everybody knows the public sector finance is a mess, whichever. The EU isn't a magic wand for it. It's no silver bullet for it. And I don't think it'll be any so much easier even post-Brexit. I think these issues will happen. I mean, you have to define, well, what is Brexit? What is it? What does it mean? A lot of people would say, oh, it means trade deals. And a lot of people would say, no, it's not about trade deals. It's about sovereignty. And they people, what's that then? Well, that basically means it's your capability to decide your own future without it being done centrally from offshore. So, I mean, there's arguments both sides of that equation. Always have been, always will be. It's not a black and white issue. What I'm concerned about for the quality of life to blind and VI people, that's my main concern. That has to be, irrespective, if you like, of what local or centralised government we get. We've got to make sure our voices are heard, do we not? We have to make sure, so that no matter what we end up with then and now and then, we are vocally heard and we are, you know, we're represented. It's all about representation. So that's what Brexit means. Will we still have the representative? RNIB, are we still going to get represented? Is the Equalities Act 2010 still absolutely sacrosanct, irrespective of which jurisdiction we end up in? That art has got to be yes. It's got to be yes, hasn't it?
And of course, if you're at home and you're thinking, do you know what, this is actually really something that's worrying me, you can get in touch. RNIB have been running a campaign lately called Play Your Part, where you can just air your views. All you have to do is search for RNIB Play Your Part, and there's quick polls there, and there's also message boards. And you know, it'd be good to, if you're worried about this, then do get in touch, because we tend to sit here and think, well, somebody will sort this out, but sometimes we've got to really try and steer things ourselves, haven't we?
We do. You're absolutely right. I mean, being an active part of this society we're in doesn't just mean turning up in a polling station on a Thursday sometime, you know, whenever there's the next election. That a lot of people think that once they've made a, you know, they cast the vote that the MP or whatever representative disappears, often represents them. Well, they do. Well, supposed to. But I think beyond that, I think we need to be active. And I think the great thing is, and this is the thing, remember this, social media. Social media has changed everything. The whole of politics has been changed. As you know, even Donald Trump tweets. Everybody tweets. So Twitter, mostly, less so Facebook, but mostly Twitter and those sorts of platforms. Well, primarily Twitter, quite honestly. I can't think of any others beyond that one. So it's, or if you get in there, and I think RNIB needs to, if it has any budget to channel, I'm sure it's got budget already going in. These are the channels that we need to have. Freeview Channel 730, for example. Fantastic. What a brilliant idea. So Simon, so you know, irrespective of what we end up with post-Brexit, so long as our voice is heard as a VI and blind community across the land and beyond, if we can use social media even more than we already currently doing, because I think that's where the politicians will hear us. They will hear us in Twitter land and the Twitter sphere, and I'm active in that area, and I think that's the way forward, because you know, once we rep, as you said, once we represent, you know, we vote these people in and they disappear off, it that seems to be a lot of people feel disengaged from it, and a lot of people are saying in the political world, you know, people are feeling so cut off from politics and disengaged, they don't feel part of it, and that's why the low vote turnout, etc., a lot of elections. So those of us old enough to remember the poll tax riots of the 80s, remember how people, you remember those? Oh, you got those first. Scotland got those first. Yeah. I mean, people can get active, and when they do, it works, you know, but it has to be in a sensible way, you know, no rioting or nothing like that ever works. It has to be sensibly argued through the correct channels of Parliament, whether it's the Scottish Parliament, the Westminster Parliament, Plaid Cymru, and the Northern Ireland Assembly, assuming it was still functional. But yeah, I mean, that is the way to do it, representation. And social media is incredibly powerful, and that's, I think, where we should channel our energies now, Simon.
And also, we can directly go to our local MP as well, can't we?
We certainly can, and I think we should. And they have a surgery, obviously, most weeks, and I think we should be down there saying to them, you know, that there are issues, and reminding our members of Parliament that we are a very, very vocal group. We're a vulnerable group, and we can't be left behind in this whole Brexit shenanigans. And that whichever way it goes, you know, hopefully we'll make it a nice deal that everyone. Everyone's happy. Wouldn't that be nice? And we re-engage with the world in trade and on social issues, that we're improving it for everybody. I mean, it has to have meant something. We can't just go through this whole political shenanigans just so that people can have a good old belly laugh and put all sorts of strange programs on national TV. I think it has to mean something for us. Otherwise, it'd be a complete waste of time. You know, the referendum was basically so we could decide our own destiny, was it not? And Cameron said, okay, you know, June the 23rd, 2016 would be the day that the government would implement, this is the quote from the paper, the government will implement the decision. Well, I'm afraid that there was a majority vote. And if we respect democracy, we have to go through with that. And now, it didn't say which flavour. I have all these terms like soft Brexit, hard Brexit, clean breaks, customs unions, also in transitory. They're all messing around with the definition of it. I think what we have to do is we have to start over. And I'm not sure. I mean, this may be a bit too current, but there's talk today that Theresa May may well be ousted within the week. There's a Tory rebellion just about to happen because even members of her own party aren't happy with the direction it's taking. So by the time you and I talk next, Simon, it could all have changed, and we could have a new government, you know, we could be talking in completely different terms. But whichever the outcome, as far as I'm concerned, I'm so concerned about the blind and visually impaired people that we are represented and our voice is always heard. And I don't care in that respect which government is in, just as long as human rights are respected, the Equalities Act is sacrosanct, and we can look to better quality of life.
Well, on that note, at least you and I never change, Paul. That's a good thing.
Absolutely, Simon. Talk to you again soon.
How do we tweet you, just if we want to have a chat with you?
Go to hellsbells_UK, twitter.com, hellsbells, spelled HELLSBELLES _UK. That's where you can find me, and feel free to ping me with any ideas, suggestions for me and Simon to talk about in the future.
Right, Paul, well, keep your windows shut. We hope you keep safe.
I shall.
Yeah, we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Wonderful, matey. Talk to you soon. Cheers, Simon.